Live from the Enchantment Under the Sea Dance and brought to you by DuPont. Better things for better living through chemistry. DuPont. I'm Delmon.
And I'm Alicious.
And this is EQ2 Talk. Well, that's better than past weeks, but what happened to getting new theme music?
Well, Dal, I was actually on vacation this week, so I kind of didn't get around to it.
All right. If you want to throw out the excuse, double XP weekend, I'll take it.
There was that, and that led into a vacation with more XPing and other things.
All right. Let's put it back on the list for episode number 4, shall we?
Yes, we'll put it back on the list. It's never actually left the list.
The list only gets longer, doesn't it?
It does.
So let's get into this week's episode 3 right off the bat. We have, I guess, a new segment we're going to unveil. We have our errata section for things we screwed up in previous episodes. So, Allie, what did you say wrong last show?
Well, we were talking about, I'm not sure if this was last show or the, we were talking about how big your, how many.
Yes, talk about how big I, yes.
How many spaces you have, the royal you, not Delmon.
Fair enough.
How many spaces we all have to put things. And one of the things was we were talking about broker slots.
Yes.
And we had said the largest boxes in the game were 44 slots. We actually forgot about the Tier 9 Salesman's Crates, which are 76 slots.
Okay.
The Eucalyptus Salesman's Crates.
So 76 is the largest container in-game right now.
Well, yes, I believe so.
Okay.
Unless someone knows more than I do. But in any case, Allie, in this case, is even more right than she was before.
Excellent. And that is what's most important here.
That's true. And the fact that I was...
How much more right you are now.
Right. I'm right, and Del was wrong. Even more so.
Fair enough. There was also, we had another item where we misspoke, gave disinformation.
Oh, fair enough. I misspoke.
The Royal We, which is also known as Alicious.
Apparently, there is an East Boston.
Yes, there is.
And there's an East Chicago, but East Chicago's in Indiana, so it doesn't really count. But there's still no East Kinos.
That is true. There is no East Kinos. There is barely an East Boston. It's actually where the airport is. So if you've been to Boston, you know where East Boston is. What's interesting, though, is there's no West and no North. We have a South, but no West and North. I guess this is this week in Where in the World is Delmon and Allie.
Let's not go there.
All right. Fair enough. We did receive a listener email this past week.
Yay.
And I thought we could share it with everyone. So I have it here. Let me read it for everybody. It says, "Hello, Del. Just wanted to say I used to listen to EQ Tuesday, and I'm really glad I found your new show. Love the new co-host. Welcome, Allie."
Thank you.
"I do have a couple of questions and a request or two, if you don't mind." I don't mind. Questions. Must be available in iTunes or some other subscription. I get extremely forgetful sometimes, and I don't know that I'll be very good at remembering to check, especially if it stays bi-weekly. Also, will it stay in podcast form, or will you ever do a live stream? Now for a couple of requests. Show notes! ! If you're talking about a specific site that you go to, or a weapon, or a quest, could you add that info to some show notes? I'm a relative newbie and just started playing last October, and sometimes it's hard to catch just what you're talking about, because there are things and places I haven't run across yet. If the show won't be available on iTunes or a subscription, could you please maybe have a mailing list set up to notify listeners when there's a new show available? I know that just adds to more work for you, and I don't want to sound ungrateful, because I really do appreciate your efforts. Kudos to you both. Thanks for the show. Ukabia? Ukabai? I apologize if I butchered that, from the Najina server." Maybe I should have gone with her other name. Aggie, which is a lot easier to pronounce. Aggie from the Najina server. And Ukabai. So Aggie, if I can continue to use that name instead, because it's so much easier to say, asked some great questions, and we do want to say thank you for the email. It was very exciting. This is our first email. Yeah, yes.
Yes, it was very, very exciting to get that.
Actually, other than
we do now have,
we've been sending back and forth to test email out
to each other. So this makes a total of 5 listeners now.
Yes, yes, very exciting. Nothing like breaking into that 5th. That should be an achievement. We should get a ding mark for it or something.
You're right, we should. We should have show achievements.
So let's take a moment and go over some of the questions that were asked. First one, do we mind if they ask questions? Absolutely not. The second question, I guess, would be, will your podcast be available in iTunes or some other subscription? The answer is absolutely yes. That is, along with the new show theme, on the list of things. We have fooled around with iTunes. We are getting up to speed on it. We're getting some of our metadata set. We're still working on our artwork, and that's what's held us back from getting into the iTunes store. That's not to say now you can't find us or load us into your iTunes. So if you got a pen and paper handy, quick, if you go into iTunes and choose the advanced pull-down menu at the top and then put subscribe to podcast, in there you can type eq2talk.com/category/podcasts/feed. I'll say that really quick again in case you didn't catch it. It's eq2talk/category/podcasts feed. No?
eq2talk.com.
Yes?
You forgot the .com.
Oh, did I forget the .com? I'm sorry. Well, maybe I'll edit that out.
That's fine.
Maybe I'll get lazy and I won't. Who knows?
Oh, we'll add it to the webpage.
Yes.
For people.
Yeah, that is a lot of information real fast, but, you know, maybe a little bit more iTunes savvy, they can put it in there like that. But we'll definitely get that posted as well. The next question was, will it stay in podcast form or will you ever do a live stream? That's a great question because I've been asked that by a couple of folks. And right now, I think, Allie, our plan is to stay in podcast form, but not rule out at this point the chance somewhere, maybe perhaps soon, somewhere down the road, doing a live event.
I would edit out the word soon.
Well, I guess I use soon in terms of the SOE soon.
Okay.
Somewhere, maybe. We'll take a look into it.
Down the road.
Yeah. Folks have asked us about that. I think we're still trying to get our podcast sea legs underneath us right now. So we have the advantage of re-editing or re-recording something that we misspeak, or when we say that there is no East Boston, we can fix it. But I think down the road, yeah, maybe there's something, maybe with the live event in conjunction with something happening in-game, maybe. Who knows? But I think it's something we can look into. A couple of requests. If you're talking about a specific site that you go to, could you please add that info to show notes? Yes, 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 yes. That is on the list as well. We just have not got to creating show notes as we've been just trying to get, as I said, get our podcast legs under us. But I think down the road we will look into getting show notes out there. If the show won't be available in iTunes or a subscription, will you have a mailing list? Absolutely. That is something I am working on the website about getting a mailing list so that folks can register, maybe through a major domo service, if folks are familiar with that, where when we do publish, we can push that information out to you in an email and you'll know that the new show is out there. And actually, that's all the questions, I guess. I thought there was one more.
No, that's it.
That's it. Okay. So again, thank you very much for the email. And if anybody else has any suggestions or questions or things they want to talk about that we talk about, we definitely invite you to send us an email as well. And to Aggie, I think we have something in our prize closet for you, so keep your eye on your mailbox. We dug deep into the prize closet.
Very deep.
I had to move some of my dirty laundry aside to find it.
Oh, don't tell her that.
That's true. It was all clean.
She won't want to touch it.
All right, that was our listener email. So let's turn to our next topic we had, which was the new item in Station Store.
Yes, there is now available a guild rename potion through Station Cash. And the cost is the equivalent of $55. How do you feel about this, Dell?
I think it's a good thing. I was going to say at first I'm neither for nor against it, but I would say no, I think it is a good thing. I'm not looking to rename a guild at the moment, so it's not something that I would be purchasing. But I think for folks who have guilds, or maybe alt guilds or something, that are several years old and that they have invested levels and guild halls and amenities and lots of status into, and they don't want to just walk away from it, I think having the ability to change its name, no big deal. If they want. I think $55 is a fair price for it, because I don't think you want folks just trivially spending a few dollars and doing it every other day. This should be
right.
a big thing. So you want to make it cost prohibitive for just doing it and on a whim, but also feasible that you could pay for it out of your pocket and not have to take out a second mortgage or something like that.
Right.
I mean, we have some changes today, don't we? I think guild names would just be the next logical step of that. What's your take?
I have to agree. I agree. I think I've seen a few guilds with obvious misspellings or obvious miscapitalizations, and I wonder if those people sort of walk around in shame. Yes, maybe it's nice to have the option to be able to make the change without starting all over again, because it is a lot of work. You know, right. Especially when you already have a guild hall, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, especially when you're at that end game, which is right now level 90 guild with a lot of amenities and all that. Just to walk away from that is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, even if you're not a level 90 guild, it's work to level up your guild. We used to do writs after writs after writs in groups. I remember when we hit level 5, and it was a huge event, but this was way back when. But it's not necessarily easier today to level up your guild. So I think for those who have an established guild, it doesn't really matter what level you are. If you have, you know, a large number of members, or even just a handful of members, or maybe there are a lot of members who don't play anymore and you don't want to kick them to the curb to start over again just to rename the guild.
Right. I think where you might see a lot of application of this is for guilds that have been around the block, maybe since launch, where there's been a lot of player turnover, and you still have a core group of good players, but the players who maybe founded the guild or started it off have all moved on, and it's not what it was, but you want to keep all the work that has gone into it over the so many years that the game's been out, and you just want to modify it a little bit. It doesn't maybe match the mojo of the current membership. So I think that's where you might see a lot of it. Although, while you were talking there, it made me think of a thing about guilds. I don't even know if this still happens. If you form a level 1 guild, do you immediately get the guild tag under your name publicly displayed now, or do you still have to wait till like level 5?
I don't know the answer to that.
Am I right in remembering that at one point at least you still had to be level 5 before other people could see your guild tag?
You know, I don't recall, but I do know you can take that option off for ranks within the guild.
Okay.
So, say, for example, recruits don't necessarily reflect the guild.
Yet. Right. Yep.
So
yep.
You can remove that ability from that level, that rank.
Okay.
I don't know about guild level, though.
This is just
it might be tied to a guild.
Yeah, remembering from back in the day where it was like a big deal to get to level 5 because then other people could see your title, your guild title.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, you might be right about that.
I mean, if you remember even, you know, more old school EQ2, it took like, what, 60 silver to
yes,
form a guild?
Yes, it did take 60 silver. And let me tell you, when we formed our guild, it took all the people who were in the game, in the guild from the previous game we were in, to pool their money together to scrape together that 60 silver.
Absolutely. I remember it being
like a lot of money.
It was a huge, okay, you give me, how much do you have? I have 4 silver. And you thought you were like loaded, right? I'm rich. The good old days, right?
Yeah.
So I think in terms of the guild name repotion, I think it's a good thing. I think it is a good thing. Maybe if it puts a little bit more coin in SOE's pocket and eliminates maybe some CS tickets that they have to would handle, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think you're going to see players doing it every other day just, you know, because of its price.
Well, and the fact that they came up with this as a potion to me says there must be some demand for it. Otherwise, why would they spend the time to put in this mechanic into a potion? So there must be demand.
Absolutely.
Of some sort. But the price probably reflects, this is a guess, the desire to keep it a legitimate tool as opposed to making it cheaper. I think if it were cheaper, like you said, you'd have, you know, because we all have seen guilds, kind of jerky guilds out there.
Guilds like cream cheese.
Well, I don't want to name names, but
fair enough.
There are guilds out there that maybe don't have the best reputation, and you don't necessarily want to be able to do bad things, change your name, do bad things, change your name again on a daily basis.
Right.
So to stay under the radar. And I think that price sort of eliminates that from possibility.
Yeah, you're right. I would call it maybe perhaps it's a luxury in its price point, but it's a luxury that if you really want, you can afford to pay for. It's not beyond, oh, I'll never have $55 to do that.
Right.
But it's not, well, hey, it's Friday night, let's change our guild name.
Right.
I, again, think it's a good thing. Should we move to the next topic?
Sure, let's do that.
Okay. The next one we had was the changes to the quest called to speak as a dragon.
Yeah, actually, this was on the list of things for the last two shows. I believe we decided not to open the can of worms because it was a maybe big topic. So we kept pushing it off. But I think last show we were a little bit too shiny, happy people. And, okay. You know, we didn't have any arguments at all, me and you. I kind of like arguing with you.
Really? Well, you know, not everybody likes crazy, flailing arms, yelling and screaming, ranting Dell all the time. He is fun.
Yeah.
So what was the change to speak as a dragon?
Well, I don't remember exactly when this came in. It might have been,
I think it was last game update, wasn't it? Or right thereabouts.
56? Yeah. Okay. Essentially, they made it so that you, if you have completed to speak as a dragon on one of your characters, all your other characters count can avoid the most tedious part of that hallmark quest, which would be the gathering of 26 runes from all over the Shattered Lands.
Right, right.
And the way that it works, from what I understand, is you go to the Shady Swashbuckler.
Yes, in Neck Forest. On the
Neck Forest docks. On the tune that you have completed the Speak as a Dragon, to Speak as a Dragon quest. And you can purchase for a very small fee something called the Tablet of Draconic Runes. Is that what it's called?
Yep. That sounds, to be honest, I don't know its exact name, but that sounds reasonable.
Okay. And you can, it's heirloom. So you can pass it through your shared bank to your alts, essentially. Yep. And skip the most tedious part of that quest,
which is the running around at 26 different and various and sundry zones all over the game.
Yes, all over the Shatterlands, anyway.
Right, right.
Which I think when we first started talking about this, Del, you were from the old school, do it the hard way, uphill both ways mindset.
Absolutely, yes.
I did it the hard way, so therefore everybody else should have to do it the hard way. Is that
absolutely,
right?
Yes.
And do you still feel the same way?
Unfortunately, no. Much like ice cream in the heat, I have softened. And I'm a little bit more mushy, but I'm still just as tasty. And here's why. Dell is hard school, old score, uphill both ways with no shoes. Absolutely, I agree. But now that I have been playing on the Troubadour a little bit more, playing an alt, I am less inclined, less likely to want to do the same thing all over again. Especially, and this is, I think, where it's most key, where a quest that is extremely gray but is a prerequisite for doing so much. To speak as a dragon is required for several large quest stories in EverQuest 2. So do I want to run the Troubadour all over Norrath? Granted, it's a little easier today than it has been in the past with the Druid Rings and the portals and Guildhall.
And the fact that you don't need access quests anymore.
Absolutely. So it's a little bit more tolerable in terms of getting around, but still, all I'm really doing is looking up on Wiki a location in a zone, running to that zone, doing a waypoint, and then running to that point to click on a book or a rock or something like that, the rune that gives me that letter of the draconic alphabet. And then I'm running to the next one, and I'm looking at the list going, okay, what's the easiest route of running around? Is that zone next to where I already am? Or where is there a druid ring? Or where is there a portal? I'd probably spend more time trying to figure out the fastest path through it. So for a quest like that, that is so required in the game and so gray by the time you might realize you need it, it really can be a time sink. So yeah, I've kind of softened a little bit in, should every alt, for altaholics out there who it might be 6, 8, they might have a dozen alts, who they're just going to have to spend a day or a night running all over the Shattered Lands to click on something. That, for most, is completely gray. It's not like you even have to fight there anymore to get to some of these. Because if you are above level 60, everywhere in the Shattered Lands practically should be gray at that point to you.
Yeah. Well, here's my thinking.
Okay.
And we did sort of have like a long, drawn-out argument about this before we recorded the first show.
Yes.
And this may have made the ice cream melt a little bit.
Yes, you saw it, Allie. You
I beat you to a bloody pulp.
All right. You can think that. I'll stick with my soft ice cream in the sun analogy.
I personally, and this kind of, you know, you can really talk about so many things in game that this feeling happens with. This feeling of, well, I don't get it. I did this the hard way. You know, you could look at the prismatic
time,
the Claymore timeline,
right.
You know, the access quests for all the different things, you know, the boat rides and everything that have been removed from the game. And people who have been playing since launch, you know, even leveling a guild used to be harder with the patron system, if you remember that.
Oh, yes, very much so.
Yeah, we had a lot of issues with if a patron decided to leave the guild. You know, it was one of these, you're married to this guild forever. You can't commit to this unless you're willing to commit forever.
Right.
You de-level the guild. So I think there are a lot of things in game where there's the opportunity for people to feel, people who did it, quote unquote, the hard way, to feel sort of slighted now that these things have been made easier for new people. But if you look at what we're talking about here, it's this particular is a level 50 quest,
mm-hmm.
which at the time was basically endgame. This was for basically to do the prismatic timeline, you had to know dragon language.
Absolutely.
In order to complete dragon language, you needed to know giant language.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You also had to have access to all these zones or get access to all of these zones.
Oh, sure.
In the process. It was a really long, drawn-out ordeal. But at this stage, you're talking about you're talking about 40 levels later if you're max level at this stage, which for me, I'm looking at what is it required for today? Well, it's required to do the Epic Repercussions quest, which is the epic conversion if you have your epic weapon from tier, I guess you want to call it.
Yep.
In order to convert, in order to do one of the steps, you have to talk to a dragon to get dragon blood. Well, you can't talk to a dragon unless you can speak his language.
Speak their language, absolutely.
Right. And so at least that, you know, the mechanic is still in the game. They could have dumbed it down, quote unquote, and made it something else, but they
didn't. I'll say, not to get too roleplay, dragons should not speak common.
Right. Dragons are special. So you do still have to do something. You do still have to do the other parts of the To Speak as a Dragon quest. You just don't have to do the tedious running around part.
Right. And I think, too, looking back and remembering back to when we had to do it initially, if you were doing it kind of at launch, at content, I think of this one in the Lost Temple of Khazad-dûl. 50, which there. We were at that time, that meant running across the Farrakh and then getting into the temple and having to fight your way halfway down to the bottom of the temple. You needed a full group at that point. You couldn't go do that solo. Maybe you could. You would have had to been pretty darn Uber to do it. You had to go to... Do we have to go to the bottom of Sol Sakai? I don't remember. But there were a lot of places where today we just run to. If we need to go see Nagafin today, we just run to.
Well, you could. People still get lost.
Absolutely. But back then, you had to fight your way to him.
Yes.
So granted, getting lost or going the wrong direction, every mob in front of you was looking to kill you at that point and could, because game mechanics were very different. We didn't have things, even if you could probably get down there yourself, Chronomage. And I think some too, over time, we have seen the softening of some of the mobs that are in the way because they have been made solo. But was all heroic. You fought the whole way and there was no horse. So it was all fighting all the way, uphill both ways.
Yeah.
So this was not an easy quest to get done, because not only did you have to go to these 26 some odd different places, you had to fight your way through a fair amount of them and needed a group to do it. You needed a tank, a healer, utility, DPS, that sort of thing to get through some of that content. Today, it's just tedious running around. Now, what I will say I'm still concerned about as a player is that I am fearful that this may be step one in the series of we're going to make more things heirloom or account-based so that, say I'm going to make something up. I kill a raid dragon or something, right? Or a raid mob, something like that. And I get a quest update for, I don't know, the next quest line or something like that. Should I get that dinged on my troubadour as well? Because, well, the Templar completed it. Should we have to force the troubadour to go do it as well? I'm not a big fan of heirloom and the selling of loot in channels and whatnot. I do believe that the accomplishment is that toon's accomplishment and not necessarily the player's accomplishment. It shouldn't be universal. It shouldn't be for all my characters. So I am fearful that this, To Speak as a Dragon, is step one in that sort of direction. And I'm not keen on that.
When you say accomplishment, let's go further with that and talk about what you feel is an accomplishment. Do you feel that To Speak as a Dragon today, with the max level being 90, is an accomplishment in Dell's dictionary?
Yes. I'm going to say yeah, but that accomplishment spectrum and to complete a Speak as a Dragon in today's accomplishment spectrum at a level 90 max character, you're right, is a zero practically on a scale of 1 to 10. It's on the chart, but it's barely on the chart. It is a time sink in that you're just doing it by running around. There's no contest to complete it if you're above level 60.
So, I would have to agree with that. I think, to me, an accomplishment is something that takes more than just time to complete.
Right. So it's on the list of accomplishments, but it's barely on the list of accomplishments. So do I consider it a real accomplishment? And using real in air quotes, no, it's not a real accomplishment. Anybody can do it. Right?
Right. I don't even think it's on the list of accomplishments. For me, it's not. Not in today's world. Not in today's game. In today's Norrath. It's just gray. It's just an old quest. And people might be mad at me for that, but you know, in the day, it was really, really hard.
Yes. Yep.
And in the day, it was a huge accomplishment. And completing Prismatic was a huge accomplishment, which I didn't do until it was gray. So I never did get that accomplishment in my mind. I did finish it, but it was gray.
Yeah, I don't remember when I killed Darathar. He might have been gray at that point as well. I'd say it's an accomplishment, if insofar as you consider accomplishment Googling onto Wiki and cutting and pasting waypoints into the game.
I don't think that's an accomplishment.
Right, so there you go. If you consider that an accomplishment, yes, right. It is. If you don't, then certainly it is not. And I think we both agree that it's not really. But let me ask you this, then I almost used the word dally again. Let me ask you this, Allie. When does it be an unaccomplishment and should therefore be maybe, like you're suggesting, and don't let me put words in your mouth, but a universal ding? A universal ding is in, it's good for all your tunes. Say you were to go kill Darathar today. Now, he's obviously very gray. Maybe soloable by some if you can get through some of his knockbacks or stuns or something like that. Certainly, I think we've duoed him or maybe trioed him in worse scenario. Is he an accomplishment at this point at level 90? And therefore, if you kill him at level 90, all your characters should get them the minute they get to 90.
I don't think so. First of all, I don't think it's an accomplishment to kill a gray dragon. Even mentoring down to kill a dragon that's below you.
Okay.
You know, mentoring is so ridiculously overpowered. It's beyond. It's like taking a sledgehammer to kill an ant. I don't think that's an accomplishment.
Fair enough.
But I don't think. I don't know where you're getting this. They're going to fly. You know, that's sort of alarmist to say, you know, let's, this is opening the door to flagging all your other tunes for having killed something that you haven't done, that you did on your main. I think that's crazy talk. I don't think they would ever do that.
Perhaps, and I'll admit, I am right now wearing my tinfoil hat, which I commonly wear. Absolutely. So, yeah, you're right. It is a little bit of alarmist. I'm certainly not running into the bomb shelter to protect myself from this. But I do see, well, gee, if they've done it for one, will they do it for another one? What would be the next thing they'd do something like that?
Well, look at what they've done. They have taken out a huge time sink that everybody who's level 90, who has done their fabled or mythical from last year,
yep,
who is still playing the game and paying a subscription fee, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to convert their mythical, okay? Which, yep, we've been told, basically, mythicals are in the past. Let's leave those behind and move forward in the game, right?
Yes.
Well, if they're making it easier for us to do that, to not hang on to that past uber, this is the be-all and end-all.
Right.
They are basically making it just a smidgen easier. It's not even easier. It's just less time-consuming. Because really, there are so many steps on that Epic Repercussions quest that are actually difficult and challenging, not just time-consuming. It's not just a matter of going and talking to 50 different NPCs to hear some story. You have to do zones. You have to do hard zones.
Fair enough. So, now, are you saying it's okay because this is a prereq? If this was some other side quest, and I think of Swords of Destiny was one that was like this too, where you had to run around and click on, I forget the number, 20 some odd statues throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
That obviously is not a prereq or a precursor to doing anything other than the Swords of Destiny quest line.
Right.
Running around to all those zones are gray at this point to a max level character. Is that one a good candidate to be heirloomed as well?
Only if that Swords of Destiny is required for something that everybody wants to do. And is being pushed to do, encouraged to do.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
If it's not really optional, the Epic Repercussions is really not intended to be. I mean, it is optional. You don't have to convert your mythical weapon or your fabled, but it's sort of what they want us to do.
Absolutely. It is on the highway of the game. Yes, you could take off-roads to get to your destination, but it is the highway. This is the way they want you to kind of go, and the way 99.9% of the players will go. So, yes, I agree that it is a prereq to basically major content for this expansion. So I agree with that, absolutely.
But, you know, going back to what you were saying about Swords of Destiny, which I don't remember every single thing about that, but I do remember it was difficult at the time.
Yes, it was.
And time-consuming, and I didn't do it until it was gray. Again, a lot of stuff I didn't do in this game until it was gray. So I really give, you know, I give credit to those people who actually did a lot of this stuff the hard way, quote-unquote, because it really was the hard way.
Sure.
But it's not hard anymore. It's just annoying.
Fair enough. But because that's optional, as you say, it's optional content at this point. It's not part of the storyline of this expansion.
Well,
it's not really a candidate for heirlooming.
Well, I don't think it is because it's... I mean, everything's optional if you think about it.
Yes, everything's optional, but some things are more optional than others.
Right. And the Epic Repercussions is really not one of those small, you don't have to do this if you don't want to. It's just sort of there. It's kind of an integral part of the expansion.
Yep, I agree. I agree with you.
Into Tier 9. So, and the dragon language really isn't central to that quest, except for the fact that you have to speak to a dragon at one point in the quest. Why are all these sub things, I mean, the sub quest being knowing the dragon language, which there is a prerequisite for that as well, to know the giant language. I mean, it's thing after thing after thing after thing. You could keep going back and back and back. At some point, let's make it a little less time consuming. Because really, that's all it is. It's not hard. It's not an accomplishment. It's not challenging. And it doesn't prove anything anymore.
But, and I think, too, one of the things they have left, and I do applaud them for this, is even though it is heirloomable now, it doesn't have to be. If you want to be Joe Hardcore and say, I'm not going to heirloom it to my alt, I want my alt to do it uphill both ways, you still have that option available to you. And
right.
I do think that's a good thing. I'm a big advocate of options. So if you are on your alt and you say, bah humbug to heirloom, you can. You absolutely can, and you can do all that running around. And I think a lot of players should sometimes do all that running around to experience some more of the game and see some of the cool things that are out there, the artwork that's out there, and the zone art and that sort of stuff, and see some of these other zones. So, you know, a lot of new players sometimes, they get to the end content just by taking the quote-unquote golden path and miss out on some of these side things. So I do think that's a little bit of a shame for some folks that they do miss out on some of this. Not necessarily fun of running around, but fun of discovering new places and seeing new things and new mobs and new mob models and things like that.
Well, I don't think it's necessary to force people to go to these places.
No, I agree. They shouldn't be forced, but they should avail themselves of the opportunity to see them.
Right. And if they choose to do that, then they can.
Yep.
And like you said, there is so much, there are so many zones out there that people just don't really see anymore. And it's a damn shame because a lot of these zones are so amazing. Some of the older zones, some of the zones, I have a soft spot in my heart for Poet's Palace, which I know a lot of people don't like. I just think I love that zone. And I used to go there on a daily basis, even when it was gray.
You just like hanging out with the djinn?
It's fun. I think it's a fun zone. And I go back there sometimes. I self-mentor down and and go do it because it's fun. Now, I don't go do it as often as I used to, but the artwork is beautiful in that zone. I don't know. I really like that zone. I think it's a lot of fun. But, and I'm sure everybody has their own, you know, soft spot favorite zone. Do you have one?
You know, as you were talking, I'm trying to think, man, I have so many. I'll say one thing. There is one particular spotted game that I think is really cool and I think is really EQ2 and I think is one of the great things about EverQuest 2 is the Temple of Life in Silent City, is it? Silent City. I always get Silent City and Living Tombs backwards. It's the raid zone there at the end. And there's an artwork, like a mural of Ashanti Sewell on the wall back in DOF days. And it's a great looking piece of artwork on the wall. And what was it? 3 or 4 expansions later, we got to see her again in real game. So it's wonderful that the story is there and the story has this timeline of going forward, but she's also, you know, kind of back in the game. I always just like that. It's like, holy wow, these aren't just random expansions and things stuck on the wall. There is a story to them and they are tied together. So not only does it look good, it also fits the story of the world of Norrath. And that I find is always, so maybe I have a soft spot that's been re-softened a little again because I remember the artwork and then I remember the story to it.
More mushy ice cream.
More mushy ice cream. Yes.
You're getting mushy. Getting mushy in your old age.
I am softening in more ways than one, and that's not a good thing. All right. Should we move on from that? Or?
I suppose we could. I mean, I could go on and on and on. So you got to cut me off at some point.
Okay. Our next topic was the upcoming fanfare.
We sort of wanted to just say a few things because maybe next time we'll talk more in depth about fanfare.
So for folks who don't know, once again, at the luxurious Bally's of Las Vegas. You don't sound thrilled. Luxurious.
I'm sorry. I was there last year and
I'm not a big fan of Bally's either. It's just another hotel.
I didn't like it.
So what do we have on tap for fanfare this year?
what are we talking about here? Do we want to talk about fanfare itself? I thought we were saving that for next time.
We are, but we were going to say that I'll be there.
Right. I'm sorry. By on tap, you meant on the show.
Yes.
Okay. Maybe you can clean that up.
We are doing this little thing called a podcast here.
I know.
So I'll be on the ground at Fanfare. Unfortunately, Allie, you won't be able to make it this year.
No, we are not going to make it this year. We're having actually our own little fanfare.
Yeah, you are up there at your house, a little an alley fair.
An alley fair, sort of. So we're going to have, we actually had quite a number of people last year who went to Fanfare. We had, I believe it was 11 people from our guild. If people go and with a group, I recommend getting together early, getting each other's cell phone numbers, all that good stuff. And don't forget about the day you arrive. It's not a nothing day. There's stuff going on.
Absolutely. I'll say this real fast about Fanfare because I know we'll spend more time on it in the future. The best part of Fanfare is not only meeting the devs and the drinking and the going to the panels, but really the best part of Fanfare is the people. Meeting those folks who you play with all the time and you really only see them as a toon and you only get to know them as their character, as their avatar, and that's how you see them all the time. So putting a real face with the person and hanging out and talking not just about game stuff, but about all things, real life and where they're from and all that sort of stuff. That's the best part of Fanfare to me. And then tying it together with the game that we do play and are passionate about.
Yeah, I agree. Just a real quick little story from last year. Our flight was delayed. Well, actually, it wasn't really delayed. It's sort of a long story. We missed our flight.
Yeah, it's not delayed when you're not on it.
We got there very late. Our plan was to gather all the people that knew each other. There's one of the ladies in our guild lives in Las Vegas, and we sort of gathered at her house, and she made us dinner, and It was really neat coming in. You know, you feel awkward in the beginning because you don't know anybody. As soon as someone opens their mouth, you know exactly who that is because you've heard them on voice. So that part was really cool.
You're right. There's that awkward moment, but then after once that first the first ice is broken, everybody's having a great time.
Right. So you mentioned you're going to be at Fanfare this year.
Yes, I will be there.
We wanted to let people know because Dell's going to be there. If you have questions, if you're not going to be able to attend Fanfare, if you have any questions you want to ask at the panels, you can send them to us and Dell can be our little roving reporter and ask your questions.
Absolutely. I am your dwarf on the ground in Vegas. It's very warm there, so I'll be extra softened. So yeah, if folks have questions or things they want me to try to track down a dev with or fellow players, you know, send those to us and we'll see if we can get those answered and maybe talk about them on future shows. And absolutely, if you see me at Fanfare, definitely come up and say hello. I think that's great when folks meet me. I think it's great when folks get the chance to meet me. It's thrilling. I know it is for them.
If you want to know if it's Dell, all you have to do is ask him if you can borrow a dollar.
Okay.
See what his response is.
Yeah. You need a dollar? Come and see me. I'll be there. Just find the guy with a fistful of ones. Ba-dum-bum.
So we did say we did talk about Dell being at Fanfare, and if you're not going to be there, he can be there for you. If you are going to be there, you should probably start thinking about making your list of questions now.
Yes.
Because by the time you get into those panels, you know, you think you know what you're going to say. You think you have a whole list in your mind of, I want to ask this and I want to ask that. Don't let me, you know, write them down. Write them down and take your list with you. I actually wrote them down last year and I left my list on my desk.
You're absolutely right, because there's so much coming at you at Fanfare. Not only the folks that you're meeting that we were talking about, but information that you're learning, next expansion mechanics, things that are changing, things that are on the horizon, that sort of stuff. It becomes overwhelming and you do forget it because you've just got it's information overload.
And for those who've never been there before, well, we'll talk more in detail about what the panels are going to be, but they have some general categories: trade skills and housing, class mechanics, battlegrounds and PvP. So anything in those general categories that you want to know, should start putting your list together.
Absolutely. Dell's tip, wear comfortable shoes.
Allie's tip, alternate every other glass with water.
Now we know where each one's head is at. All right, should we move to our next topic?
Do we have another topic?
We do. We have. Well, it's not really a topic. It's a segment.
Oh, okay.
We're going to unveil.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. I'm still in Fanfare. I have one more little note I wanted to ask you about.
Oh, okay. Sure. I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
I saw on the announcement about Fanfare, well, a couple of things. One, we should probably mention this. They said Fanfare registration is closing.
Yes. Yes, I did see a post about that.
Never heard of that before.
Well, I guess one of two things, perhaps. Maybe it's been such a big success this year that they do want to limit tickets, one, I guess, for fire safety, right? I mean, the Valley probably has some rules about fire safety, but and the convention space can only hold so many people, so you don't want to sell 10,000 tickets if you've only got room for, you know, 500 people to sit in a room or something like that. So that could be a good thing. I mean, that there's so many people going that there's a big interest in it this year.
Yeah, maybe. Last year there were, I feel like, 2,000 people. Maybe not. Maybe I'm imagining things, but it was way too many for my personal preference. But maybe limiting the tickets is a good idea. But in any case, they are closing. This announcement came out July 8th, so I would imagine. And it said 2 weeks left, so July 22nd-ish,
yeah.
If you're going to go. And the Platinum Passes are sold out already, so hurry up.
Right. I think registering for Fanfare and getting your hotel and getting your tickets is one of those in the past, do early, do often. get it done right away. Don't put it off to the next day, because then you do see things like this slip in, that the platinum passes are gone or they're completely sold out or there's no hotel space for you. So you do want to get this stuff done. If you are still thinking about it, make the decision and do it right away. Don't procrastinate, I guess, is the message.
There was one last thing about Fanfare I noticed
okay. That
I wanted to ask you about, because I saw it and I thought, ooh, I wonder if Dell's going to go to that. They're having a pool party.
Why wouldn't I go? Like, do you think I cannot swim?
I don't know. No, I'm just wondering.
Do you think people don't want to swim around me? Do you think they're going to try to push me back into the pool alley and set me free? Free Delmon!
Maybe it's a girl thing. But I don't know. When I see the words pool party together, I want to just run and hide.
Ba-da-da-da, beach blanket, bingo. Of course I'm going to be there.
All right. It must be a girl thing then, because the words pool party together to me screams bathing suit, which are two words I don't like to put together.
Yes, yes, I will have my racing trunks on.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yes.
Mushy Dell with a fistful of dollars.
And a Speedo. Oh, yeah. Fanfare will be awesome. Oh, yeah.
We need to move to the next topic rapidly.
Beach blanket, bingo. All right. We had our next topic. It's actually a new segment that we're going to incorporate in the show. And this segment we have entitled The Alley Angle. And we need theme music for that. So we'll have to, that's another thing to add to the list.
No.
The Alley Angle. So what the Alley Angle is very exciting. We have a category for Alley, and she is going to give us her top three of that category, and she can use any criteria that she wants. And she'll explain, you know, why she chose the bronze, silver, and gold of each of these items. And maybe we'll use that as a springboard, and folks at home can play along as well, thinking, what would be my top three of this particular game aspect? So, Allie, are you ready for your first ever Allie Angle?
I am.
Okay, so the first category is, let me open the envelope here, heritage quests. What are...
Did you have a real envelope?
I did. I don't do this show without props. What are your top three heritage quests?
Well, I have three. I was putting them in order.
Okay.
But I did that really quick. Do you want them in reverse order?
Yeah, let's start with the number three.
Okay, my number three, and it was really difficult, by the way, to pick just three. There are so many heritage quests. And my number three, which you'll probably know why it made the list, was Raincaller.
Ah, yes.
Casualties of...
The bow.
Casualties of the War of the Fae is the name. It's funny how we know our heritage quests by different names. I think we know them mostly by the reward, don't we?
Yeah, I would say we do, yeah.
Back in the day, there were abbreviations for everything. I think that kind of stopped because there are too many abbreviations that coincide with zones. But Raincaller, because as a ranger, that was actually a very useful item to me. And I used to hug it and pet it and sleep with it under my pillow.
Okay. Wow, for that I would have thought it would have been number one, but I would say you're right there. I was going to say that it's interesting, you know, I think of it as the bow, right, being the Templar house item. You think of it as the reward item being the ranger. Back in the day, as you say, heritage quests used to be a little bit more about the reward, not just completing them and getting the status and a house item, but they were items that a lot of folks actually equipped and used.
Yes.
I think that's something we've moved a bit away from over time.
I think so. I don't know. What are heritage quests supposed to be for? Are they supposed to be for the reward, or are they supposed to be for the lore?
Probably a little from column A and a little from column B, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I think of heritage quests, well, you being an EQ player, an old school original game player,
yep,
you probably have more connection to the heritage quests than I do.
Yeah, certainly, definitely the Shattered Lands ones, the older content ones, these were the iconic items from the game. When people mentioned them, you knew exactly what it was. And, you know, they still are to that day, to this day. But originally, oh man, when they said this, Short Sword of Yakisha or Shiny Brass Shield, you knew exactly what people were talking about in EverQuest 1. Those were iconic items, and everybody camped night and day to get one. They tied to EQ1 very, very, very well.
So I think the Heritage Quests are maybe different for different people. They have different meaning.
Yeah, you're right.
No, but
you're
for me, Raincaller was very important.
Okay, so what was your silver one, your number two?
I have Bag of Tinkerers.
Bag of Tinkerers, okay.
It was a memorable, well, memorable quest. I remember getting tossed up in the air at one point, unexpectedly.
Yeah, I do remember that as well. I think it was exciting, too, because I didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah. I kind of knew something was going to happen. Friends who had done it, you know, I'd get little messages here and there about, oh, I finished this. Wait till you see what happens. So I knew something was going to happen. I didn't know what exactly. But so I was kind of looking forward to that one. And then when it happened, it was like, you know, I was doubled over laughing. And you get to kill a dragon. That's always a good thing. You know, and with Bag of Tinkerers, there's so many things you had to do. It was sort of a different type of Heritage Quest to me. It required a lot of different things. And the fact that you absolutely had to have a group, the last step, can't beat a dragon. Just can't beat it.
Well, you can to get the reward.
Yes, well.
But you can't beat having them included, absolutely. So what's the number one? What's the best Heritage Quest?
Now, these are, you're not going to maybe agree with me, but I had J Boots as my number one.
Absolutely. You know what? I would have said the same thing. Why did you pick J Boots as number one?
I have fond memories. When I first started playing, this is way, way back, I remember a guy in Guild who used to ask all the time, have any of the scouts gone to 25? And this was before I was 25. And one time I asked him, What do you need a scout to be level 25 for? He says, well, that's when you get evac. And I need you to help me with J-Boots. The Journey is Half the Fun Heritage Quest.
It was, you needed evac maybe for like Thundering Steps. Because you were at like one far end of the zone. You want to get sucked back across it as fast as possible.
Right. I think it was the Thundering Steps part. So that sort of made me go, huh, what is this? This J-Boots quest. Maybe I would be interested. But I had already started it. I just didn't realize, you know, that there was, you know, Heritage Quest was sort of a different special type of quest. I just remember not being able to run fast enough to go to all the waypoints in Antonica to get past that part. So I figured I'll just wait until I can get to that. And it stayed in my journal. But I when I did it, it was with a bunch of people, and it was a lot of running around, but it was like a race, and it was fun.
Absolutely, and that's why for me,
a different type of quest.
For me, that is why it's number one. It was a different quest. It was not the go kill 10 rats and go hail this guy or run over here and click on this thing and bring me back a sample of a rock. It was different. It was, I think, really the only one that was kind of like this, and it was a series of them going through some of the major overland zones. So I think it was just so different and so special is why, for me, that one stands out as a great Heritage Quest as well.
I remember getting stuck in Farat on all of the trees and stuff.
Oh, there was much cursing in Farat, yes. Oh, yes.
But it was pretty, it was a challenge to complete in a different sort of a way. You know, you had to make sure you were able to not die.
And keep running. Keep running.
Yeah. Just keep running.
And I think I even remember doing it where some of that content, again, was linked to us. So there were points where we kind of had to stop and fight because it didn't train off so well, or it was stunning mm-hmm. and rooting us. And healing and curing wasn't, as say, necessarily as easy as it is today. So that's why that was fun. It was just different. It was not like any other quest that I had really seen at that point. And I think that's why I found them so exciting.
Well, that's why it's my number one, because it was very different.
So to recap, number three was?
Raincaller. Casualties of the War of the Fae.
And number two was?
Bag of Tinkerers. And the Wondrous Inventions of a Crazed Gnome.
And number one, the granddaddy of them all?
Legendary German's Boots, The Journey is Half the Fun.
Excellent. I invite definitely folks who are listening to think about those and think, gee, how would I rank the best of Heritage Quest? And drop those in an email to us. We'd love to hear what other people think as well. On this, the inaugural episode of Bum Bum Bum, the Alley Angle. We really got to get the music. I could go back to Beach Blanket Bingo.
Oh, no, please. Let's not go there.
Okay. Let's not go there. Do we have anything else for this episode 3 of EQ2 Talk?
I think we've covered it all.
Okay. Should we say thank you to everybody for listening to the podcast and downloading it? Thank you to Okabia from the Nagina server for
and the rest of our and the rest of our 5 listeners.
Yes, and my mom for listening.
That might be 6. I didn't count her.
You never call, Del. You never call. We also want to say thank you to this week's corporate sponsor, DuPont. Better things.
Better things for better living through chemistry.
There we go. DuPont. If folks have any comments, suggestions, or feedback on any of the things we've been talking about, you can definitely get in touch with both Allie and I. So for me, you can send me an email at delmon@eqtalk.com, and that's D-E-L-L-M-O-N.
And I'm alicious@eq2talk.com, A-L-I-S-C-I-O-U-S.
Have a great day, everyone, and say goodnight, Allie.
Goodnight, Allie.